أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فزلهم الشيطان عنها فأخرجهما مما كان فيه وقلنا اهبطوا بعضكم لبعض عدو ولكم في الأرض مستقر ومتاع إلى حين. صدق الله العظيم.
Now, Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam in paradise, they are present, living, and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all sorts of ease, comforts, requirements fulfilled, Allah's special fadl, generosity, grace, blessings with them, all sorts of relaxation, forms of relaxation, satisfaction, peace, go where you want, eat what you want. Completely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to them open permission in paradise to wander around and freely live. When Shaitan saw this, that Adam alayhi salam is enjoying himself, everything has arrived to him. He's got everything at his disposal. Before he was on his own, even he's got a wife now. And every enjoyment of paradise Allah's permitted them to experience. And then he remembered his old life, Shaitan, that once upon a time I was the owner of all of this. Allah gave me that permission and maqam and status, and everything was in my hands. Due to them, I've lost everything. That's it. How could he even accept that, take that? So he plotted sort of a revenge, payback. And he plotted a very bad plan in his mind to take out the revenge. And he thought of a very bad idea. Remember this point. Shaitan is the fountain of sin. All sins, you name that sin, every sin under the sun, whatever sin it is, every single sin, the fountain of all of them is Shaitan. All sins, the root of all sins, go and meet at the point of Shaitan. There's no sin that does not meet or emanate from Shaitan. Doesn't meet at the Shaitan or emanate from Shaitan. And that's how sin has come to this world. Because he has the total ilm and knowledge of all wrong. And if we look on the other side, subhanAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's brilliance, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's brilliance, our Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his glory, his status, his beauty, his magnificence is such that all goodness in the world, all goodness in the world, wherever you look at, small, big, vast, wide, left and right, everywhere you look, every good is emanating from the fountain of faiz and blessings, our Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way has created the two groupings. Group one are those who accept and go towards sin. And group two, the other group, subhanallah, are those who perform righteous deeds, amalu salihah. So one group is named Hizbullah, Allah's group, and the other is Hizbul Shaitan, the group of Shaitan. Hizbul Shaitan. In other words, Shaitan's clan, Shaitan's tribe, Shaitan's group. And then you have Allah's group. Now Shaitan, he planned, because he wanted to take revenge. He was enemy of Adam alayhi salam. So he created that plot. And that biggest sin that generated within him was hasad, envy, such a wretched sin. Hatred and jealousy is a wretched and dirty, impure sin. Hazrat Abdullah bin Ka'b radiyallahu anhu, he states that the Holy Prophet, generous Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stated that if you have a hungry wolf, if you're left to a hungry wolf and left to their disposal, then so much loss they will not, for example, earn. And they will, for example, a person won't incur loss at the hands of hungry wolves more than he will at the hands of envious and jealous people. That's how wretched the sin is of hasad and jealousy, enmity, harboring jealousy, enmity. The start of enmity, shaitan started this action. When he saw Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, his glory, his status, his enjoyment, his rank, his pleasures, the first thing that was developed, created within him was hasad, jealousy, enmity, opposition. He couldn't take it. He could not absorb that because his situation was opposite. Yeah, so before that, Allah gave him a high rank. He had a high status. He had a maqam. Known in the first heaven, his name was Abid. In the second heaven was written Zahid. In the third was written Arif. He was recognized as Arif. In the fourth heaven, it was Wali. In the fifth heaven was Muttaqi. In the sixth heaven, Israel, and his name was close to the tablets. Mention, imagine his maqam, his rank. But now what had happened? That same level and rank, where did he see that? In Hazrat Adam alayhi salam's life. And what do we mean by his glory and rank and status, due to which shaitan was burning and he was jealous and he was the hasid? And he thought that he was his biggest enemy. Look, the enmity of shaitan, there are different categories, different levels of the enmity of shaitan. And most enmity, some he has less with, some he doesn't care about, he doesn't look at them twice. Remember this. Shaitan, if you want to see shaitan and who he really doesn't like, is different styles of enmity with different people, shaitan. So who he's the greatest enemy of who? Shaitan. Worst case scenario, who does he hate most? And who does he look at most with jealousy? So it doesn't mean that people of money, children, businesses, assets, malls, shopping centers and shops and takeaway stores and business premises and they're rolling in the cash. No. He doesn't look towards that worldly rank. He increases that. That doesn't affect him. This pomp and grandeur in the world. He said, these are my clients. These are my clients, I'm happy with them. And he assists them in all things and progresses them and promotes them. So what grandeur and rank and status causes shaitan to burn and have jealousy, due to which he then makes enmity. He doesn't make enmity with the people who are wealthy in the world. He's their friend. He's the friend, he embraces them. He says, yeah, you're my friends, let's work together and move on. So his real enmity, he looks towards those who have real grandeur, real status, real glory. He hates those people. What is real glory? The real glory, real status is that through which Allah is pleased. Subhanallah. Those humans who Allah is pleased with, those servants that Allah is pleased with, that's the people. They are the people with great glory and grandeur and pomp. Even if they're on a draw mat and eating dry chapatis. My Hazrat, this whole family would eat dinner with a plate full of yogurt and dry bread. 3 days long they would eat this yogurt and dry bread. Poverty in their home. But he was the glorious human being, the wealthiest human being that we can imagine. That we've seen great people submit at his feet. Wazir-e-Ala, ministers, MNAs, members of assemblies, judges, high court solicitors, lawyers. Because he had the glory, the grandeur in the eyes of Allah. He was independent, not reliant on anybody. He didn't need anything from anybody. This is wealth. And this is where shaitan is enemy and he's jealous of such people. Not people of money. The more person is independent, the more Allah is happy with his servant and pleased with his servant, and who Allah loves more, that is the biggest enemy of shaitan. That is the biggest enemy of shaitan. He utilizes his full efforts on that person. Full efforts on that person. And he works his hardest, utmost effort to deviate that person. And his friends, shaitan's friends, his children, he instructs them and plots the plan and says, go forth and spoil this person, destroy his salah, waste his salah, and waste his time and his words. He is the enemy of that person. So they are the real offspring of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, not those people who have wealth in the world. So he hates and has enmity with those people who are close to Allah and whose Allah is happy with. So understand another point as we go along, the point of tasawwuf, rectification, purification, that a person, if he is strong in amal, deeds, and he's beloved to Allah, then the more he will be high in status, he will be wealthy and glorious and grand, and the more shaitan will oppose that person. Shaitan cannot take it. He can never accept. He will use all methods and tools to destroy the deen of that person. Remember this. So that human people, those people, when they do tawbah, repent, and after repent, they go into the company of a sheikh, they correct themselves, they reform themselves, they improve themselves as human beings and improve their lives, then for them, it is a very big wake-up call. They need to think that they are now starting that process where shaitan will run after them. In every circumstance, he will try to destroy their amal, he'll try to make them failures, he will inject wasawis into their brains, into their minds, into their hearts, and he'll try his best to destroy their deeni lives. And that's where a person fails. And I've seen this many times in my life, many people taking U-turns, tawbah, piety, left their old lives, old ways, mashallah, started to do good deeds, worship, mujahida, working hard, effort, spending time, but eventually, shaitan controlled them, took them back. And he defeated them, my brothers. And islah, the biggest point in islah, rectification, the most important thing is stay alert, always to shaitan's plotting and planning. He's a big enemy of ours. Always look behind you, look out for him. Why? Because he couldn't protect himself. There's only one protection. If we want to be safe from shaitan, if you want to be safe from shaitan, from his wasawis, his whispering, is one method, one technique. Your sheikh, teacher, instruct the words of the teacher and be stern on that, firm. Whatever your sheikh instructs you, tells you, explains to you, guides you, then inscribe that onto the rock. And the biggest waswasa shaitan does is he attacks the instruction of the sheikh, that somehow let me reduce his emphasis on his sheikh and his belief and aqeedah on his sheikh. When his aqeedah of his sheikh and belief and acceptance and listening instructions are weak, then he'll reject his sheikh. He will criticize his sheikh. And then shaitan will take the open playing field to the student. The biggest protection for a believer is when he has a teacher, sheikh, and he does true tawbah, great path Allah Ta'ala bestows upon him. The greatest path, the most powerful path, is to meet a kamil sheikh, a teacher, Allah's azim fadl and grace on that believer, that Allah gives him a teacher guide. But after that, you are responsible to protect that, because the more stronger your enemy will run after you to destroy you. So much whispering will come, shaitan will inject. When a salik starts the journey of suluk, shaitan injects that student with whispers and negatives. He makes the student go against the sheikh. Oh, this is wrong, my sheikh said this, there's a defect here, look, he said this, this wasn't right, technically not correct, he didn't do this right. And his words, his sheikh's words and advices, shaitan presents in a negative way. Oh, he's mocking you, he's putting you down, and he makes the student get angry with the nasiha of the sheikh. If you persevere through this and you endure this, then you'll be successful. And for that person, there's one way, one rule of tasawwuf, is that with your sheikh, with your teacher, strongly and grow the bond of rabta sheikh, the connection with the sheikh. Accept every nasiha of your sheikh, every word of your sheikh, guidance, follow it. And be strict in the amal, and then you will be saved from shaitan. Even if in this your habits don't like it, your waswasas don't like it, your feelings and emotions don't like it, but say, no, my sheikh has instructed me. That's it. Few days, you get the test. After that, he backs off. And then you are fine. Allah's help. Allah first puts you in a test, a challenge. Let's see if he passes the test. The biggest test is to endure and overcome the whispering and the trickery of shaitan. Then Allah gives the reward. So the shaitan was a hasid. He was the enemy of Adam alayhi salam. He was burning. He didn't like. He hated Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. He didn't like that Allah Ta'ala had given him the rewards. So shaitan, remember, all evil is present within shaitan. That's why his planning, his methodology, a person cannot imagine the length extremes that shaitan will go to plot. Because he's so cursed and wretched. Look at his maqam he had before, up to the seventh heaven. Why did he have the rank? There was a reason. When Allah is pleased and happy and a person is close to Allah, subhanallah, then nur and light develops and progresses through the person. But when a person gets far from Allah, starts to go far from Allah, then evil comes into the person. Zulm, oppression, wrong, sin increases in that person. The more a person sins, the more he is distanced from Allah, distant from Allah. This is the sign. So if a person wants to see if he's a khabis or wretched, bad habits, dirty, impure things on his lips, on his verbal verbs, on his words, inside, outside, everything you see is dirty. And there's one reason for that, that he is far from Allah. That person is far from Allah. Soon as a person gets further from Allah, dhulm, oppression, khaba'ith, wretchedness, evil increases in that person. So shaitan was furthest. Allah rejected him, expelled him. And due to his distance from Allah, then he had all that wretchedness and curse within him, and he wanted to spread that amongst people. That's the difference today in the society. Those people who don't do amal, who don't do practice, who sin, who do wrong, don't follow the deen, the right way of life, then all khaba'ith, evil, dhulm on children, dhulm on the wife, dhulm on other people, society, they don't know who should they respect, who the right should be meted out to, and they are beloveds of shaitan. Everything of shaitan's, what he likes is beloved to them. So this is a sign that khaba'ith is spread in society and people are far from Allah. And he, shaitan, cursed shaitan, avowed enemy, due to being far from Allah, evil increased within him, and he had evil tricks, evil methods, so hasad came into him, jealousy, envy, deep envy. So due to that, he thought, what shall I do? How shall I take revenge on Adam alayhi salam? So he plotted. And how shall I take revenge on him and take it out on him? Pay him back. So hasad is a very big thing, my friends. I've explained to you and shared with you what is the consequence of hasad. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hasid, who is envious of others, jealous, just like fire burns and eats wood, in the same way, jealousy, envy, it burns away your good deeds, waste them. And to be envious of somebody's knowledge, or their beauty, handsomeness, or their status, or their piety, or their wealth, all of these things by looking at somebody else. What is the sign of the hasid? Inside he starts to burn, his mouth goes dry, his eyes go red, without any reason. There's nothing, it's none of his business. But why has he got this? Why has he got this? Shaitan puts this into his mind, into his brain. So shaitan, the biggest action of his is that with Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he had opposition. He wanted to take revenge. And all of the children of Adam alayhi salam, he continued along that line with them. So we need to be careful and prevent hasad coming to our lives. A very bad action. And it takes a person towards destruction. Where did it come from? From shaitan it came. Hasad. So let's pray to Allah. Allah Ta'ala, He saves us from khabai, from the evil forces. And there's a cure for this. That when you see some, you are jealous of something, envious of something, or somebody, and there's a hatred in the heart, you should ask, oh, why has he got so much money? How did he become wealthy? How did he become rich? How has come this? And from your mouth then things come out, and backbiting starts, and big sins take place. So the best solution to save yourself, because hasad will give you loss. It won't give it to that person you're envious of. So to save yourself, to improve yourself, do dua for that person who you're envious of. Allah, the thing I'm envious about, give him more of that, Allah. Oh, difficult solution, eh? But alhamdulillah, with this solution, very quickly you will get out of that trap of envy and hatred and jealousy. So when a person is jealous, envious, you will be peace in your heart when you raise your hand and say, Allah, I'm envious of this person. I'm thinking, why did he get this? Allah, pray for him. Allah, give him more of this. Give him more of this. What a great solution. That's it. Suddenly your fire will cool. Allah is kareem, generous. When a person does amal like this, Allah sees he's just. And his rahmah will come, mercy, no problem. Allah says that thing that you're envious of, Allah will also bestow it to you. Allah will bestow it to you. Assign it to you. So that's the way to bring Allah on our sides. Rather than being hasid, envious, jealous, Allah has given us tariqah. Do dua, ask Allah, Allah, take this envy away from me, hatred, jealousy away from me. Allah also give me this, Allah give me this status, Allah give me your mercy, and envelop me in your mercy. That's the way to get away from that state. So now, shaitan, all the evil and wrong was within him. He thought, I want to take revenge. He planned, he plotted due to his jealousy and his envy. The hasid always plots and plans. He wants to fulfill his enmity. He wants to take his enmity out. So he planned, he thought, he analyzed, how shall I take revenge out? And they were in Jannah. And he couldn't go into Jannah, into paradise. He wasn't able to enter, not permitted. Imagine what maqam he had and where he dropped to. Allahu Akbar. We should fear always. This is a great lesson for us. Great lesson for us. from this event, Allah Ta'ala again is teaching us, giving us the sabak. Allah is saying, when I give uruj, heights to a person, take him to the heights, lofty status, great rank, high rank, then a person shouldn't be proud, shouldn't be big-headed, he should submit, be humble. Humility, Allah, you gave to me and you can take when you want. You could take it back from me whenever you want. Allah, I accept, be humble and stoop low on your rank, say, I'm this, I'm chairman, I'm this and that, people should respect me. No, everything is in Allah's hands. Look where Allah Ta'ala took you to, and then he stood outside Jannah, tossing and turning left and right, but Adam alayhi salam is enjoying himself in paradise. Shaitan can't arrive there. He thought, I can't get, let me, how do I get inside and do my work so I can deviate them? Deviate them, take them off track. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So then he made a method, a technique. Shaitan. So he kept on going close to Jannah. They were pushing him back. There were the guards. And they'd stop him, say, get out, get out. So those guards, yes, there was a person. And it was a snake, beautiful, and his feet that, you know, just like the camel, big feet. And from the snakes, a beautiful snake, serpent, and he was Iblis's friend in the good days. You know, they were sort of from the similar background. He was a jinn and he was a jinn. Even today, jinns come in the form of snakes to people. Remember this, snakes. Very commonly, the snakes and serpents are jinn. It's stated that be careful when you're hitting the snakes and serpents. It might not be a snake, it could be a jinn you're hitting. So, this snake, this serpent, was a friend of Iblis in the old days. Iblis went up and said, help me out. He said, what is it? And he reminded him of his friendship. He said, I need to go into paradise. Tell me how I can get into paradise. So that snake said, okay, don't worry. I'll get you into paradise. Don't worry. So the Khabis's friend is Khabis. Yes, evil's friend is evil. Wrong. So he said, I'll allow you to get into paradise. He said, come inside me. Come inside my mouth. Said the snake, the serpent. So shaitan is such a thing in the hadith, said that he flows through the veins. Allah has given him so much strength, ability. Allah has allowed him to run after us, shaitan. He's been given total strength and ability to do his actions, to try to deviate us. So here there's a point. It's unfair, we can say shaitan's been given energy, powers, nafs and shaitan run after us and they're sitting in the world and trying to influence us and we are hopeless, helpless we could say, we could make excuses. Allah, we're helpless, shaitan and nafs are very strong, they've got a lot of power, authority, human being, he's helpless, he can attack us from all corners, he can go inside us and he does go inside us, he goes into our veins, into the blood, from all sides, all corners, angles, he enters into our lives. But insan even then is stronger than shaitan. Remember this. The human being even then is stronger than shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being such a weapon, such a power, such authority that jinnat, that even if thousands, masses of them come, shayateen, masses of them come, even then, subhanAllah, when the human being, when he has his weapon that Allah ta'ala has given to him, the power, if he utilizes that, then they melt and become like water. And their body, it melts within a second, their bodies melt. They cannot even move in front of your power. But they are such big enemies that not for a second do they leave the human being. And as I said, the more a person is closer to Allah, who does tawbah, repents, then every second they have the power that somehow we need to destroy this person and make him drop down the levels and make him a failure. That's their objective. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given also the human being power. If he utilizes it correctly, then he can ward off shaitan always. So shaitan cannot do anything to a human being if he is on the right. So what does shaitan do? How much power Allah ta'ala has given to him? How much influence Allah ta'ala has given to him? That in every action, he influences the human being. He tries to destroy the human being because he's using his power in different ways. For example, you're wearing your shoes, he'll go into your shoes. You're drinking water, he'll go into that. You're eating food and he will join you in eating. You're changing clothes, he'll come to you while you're changing clothes. In all your actions, shaitan wants to intrude into your actions. Open the doors so he can enter. and join in with your actions. That's how shaitan is able to influence man and be around man. That's how widespread he is. There's no protection, is there? Apparently. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a tariqah, power, energy, authority, that every advance of shaitan fails. And that is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah mubarakah, say subhanallah. Look, in opposition to shaitan, what has Allah given to the human being? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Subhanallah, the Holy Prophet, the beloved, my beloved Habib, every action of his, every sunnah of his, it's so great and powerful and energetic, momentous, massive, that any action you do according to the sunnah, the honorable sunnah, then if hundreds of thousands of shaitan come, they won't be able to enter, they'll melt immediately. For example, you're about to change your clothes. Immediately shaitan will come to you to share with you and join with you while you change clothes and see you when you change clothes. But if I follow the sunnah, simple method of sunnah, and wear the clothes according to the sunnah of Rasul and recite the dua whilst I'm wearing my clothes, every action, if we do it in the tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us which is devoid of protection from shaitan. Allah has given full protection from shaitan. We say to the world, sunnah, it's not necessary. Have you learned today? Hundreds of thousands of shaitan coming to you, and your offspring, and you sat there, your children, they're separate, they're influenced by shaitan. When you're wearing shoes, they're going to the eating with you, sleeping, going into you, changing clothes, going into you, drinking water, going into that. Tell me, you come inside the house, he's coming in the house with you, you with the wife lying down, he's with you. All your children are satanic, born, because you didn't take protection from shaitan, you didn't implement the sunnah at that time. All his children are satanic. We say, my children are disobedient, they don't listen to me, shaitan has influenced my children, they swear at me, my children swear at me. Why? Because you didn't take the protection at that time. Yes, you weren't careful when you were there. Yes, that every action the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah says, home, outside, in and out, wherever you are, there's no action that even your private life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his azwaj mutarrada, his blessed wives, the mothers of the believers, explained what was the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why did they share that detail? And how was it protected, preserved? Why? Sunnah, alongside the sunnah, the Quran, as just like Allah Ta'ala protected the Quran in the same way, if we see the blessed and honorable sunnahs were protected, preserved. Allah Ta'ala created such ulama, first the Sahaba, then the ulama, that hundreds of thousands of hadith were memorized in their minds and shared with the people. So much love. The thousands of miles these scholars would travel to gain the knowledge of one sunnah of the Prophet. They wouldn't just collect it like that. Thousands of conditions they would go through, condition and condition, that we don't want to take the wrong hadith. So much effort and working hard. Where did they get the power from? Where did they get the understanding from? Where did they get the time from? Where did they get the aqal from? Allah Ta'ala wanted to preserve his Habib sunnah. So it come to us as ummah, just like shaitan has been given open playing field. In comparison to that, Allah has given us the open playing field of the sunnah, so that we can live our lives with the sunnah in parallel and protect ourselves and save our deen. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a great resource and weapon. If we don't utilize this, then 24 hours shaitan is with us, sitting, looking at us, influencing us. We're sat with our wife, you're sat there, no argument, nothing. Shaitan, within 5 minutes, divorce will occur. And then you think, after, what happened? I wasn't in the mood of fighting. We were having a nice time. What happened? Because he injects a thought into the wife's mind and into the husband's mind. That's his biggest achievement. When he sits at the night and he puts his throne there, and then all his chele, his sidekicks, he asks him, what did you do today? What did you do today? What did you do? And when his sidekick comes and says, that husband and wife, I made them do divorce. He said, you've done the best action today. I'll give you the best reward, he says. Shaitan says. Allahu Akbar. So for this, there's one cure, subhanAllah, sunnah implementation. Just like I said to you, the husband and the wife, what should be the tariqah between their lives? When they say, no wasawis. So he creates whispering in their ears, in their minds, and all. He'll make the husband go against the wife. Wife will jump against you. Oh, she'll grab the neck. Oh, she'll start criticizing the husband. Suddenly he'll jump out, shriek at the wife, argue. What's happened? What happened before? There was no problem. Who's behind it all? Shaitan always with you. Why? When you came into the house, you didn't recite the dua. So shaitans all came in with you. And the eyes, the pious predecessors have seen with the eyes, they've experienced this. If you don't do dua, shaitan comes inside. And all of them come inside. And they've seen this with their eyes, the pious predecessors, is written, preserved, recorded. With their eyes, they've seen how when you go to the masjid, and he stops people going to the masjid. And who does he control? Those people he controls who don't follow the sunnah and the sharia. He suppresses them and he puts them under his armpits and he presses them. In one hand, he takes 5-10 people and throws them away from going to the masjid. Yeah, diverts them. The pious predict, pious elders have seen these things with their eyes. For our protection, Allah has given us the sunnah. So that we can ward off shaitan. So Adam alayhi salam. So what did shaitan do? He hated him. He said, I need to get him out of heaven. So he went into the mouth of the snake, the serpent. And the snake went into paradise. And then shaitan entered into paradise. And then Adam alayhi salam, he arrived to Adam alayhi salam, shaitan. And he got to his, to near to Adam alayhi salam. Then he said, right, I'll speak to Adam alayhi salam now. Shaitan said. So he went close to Adam alayhi salam and he made the first drama act. The first drama act. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was with Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. What did he do? He started to cry. He cried so much to the extent in the hadith is stated, you know, when for example, when you hear the salah, sometimes people do this, what name shall I say to you? You know, this is common today. Every year happens this. The shaitan's game. Remember, all evil emanated from shaitan. Noha, this sort of shrieking out, screaming out, it's haram to do this, to show, for example, when people die and the people sit there and they're baying. Like, you know, baying. Yes, a group of people does this every year. Astaghfirullah. Baying. A dirty action. So, he started doing that. He started to ban, crying, lamenting, like he is, you know, totally at loss. And the mu'min, his heart is soft. When you go and bay in front of him and cry like this, then he knew that I'm going to play a game and he's the mu'min and I'm going to get his sympathy from the human. He cried so much, they both cooled down. They said, oh, this poor soul, he looks oppressed. Why are you crying? What's the problem? They asked him, you made us cry as well. Why are you crying? They said to shaitan, that we are upset due to you. You're crying so much. He was crying, begging, crying. He said, I'm not crying due to myself. I'm crying due to you. I have love, so much love for you. I've heard about your event. They said, huh? What event? What's the issue? Why are you crying due to us? He said, that don't you know that both of you will die? Both of you will die. Jannah, you'll be lost. You'll lose Jannah. I've got this information. Oh, I've got all the information. I know everything about Jannah. I know everything about this realm, this kingdom. I've come to tell you this. You will die. Jannah will be taken away from you. And death will come to you. End will come to you. And they both said to each other, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, Hawa alayhi salam, they became sad, distressed. They said, believe what I'm saying. And he started to give them, calm them down, soothe them, sympathy. And he said, I'm very extremely sad. What should we do? He said, you'll die. You're going to die eventually. Jannah will be taken away from you. This was his methodology. Look at his trickery. Shaitan's trickery. Listen carefully. Then he played a game, a trick. This is called the real whispering of shaitan. He played a game. He said, I'll give you the solution for this so you can get out of this problem. That tree, I know this tree very well. Whoever eats the fruit from this tree, forevermore he will stay alive. He will never die. He will never die. Shaitan said this. Here's a big lesson here to us. Big lesson. Sabak of today. That shaitan, when he deviates someone and wants to make someone do a sin, it's come from this action. This first fountain of evil. Whenever shaitan wants to enable a person to do sin, when he wants to take you to haram, what does he do? That haram action, he shows you its benefit. Always very beneficial. Do this. And this is the weakness. Because it's nature, isn't it? Because we have come from natural. And so he plays. Shaitan plays with the nature of man. He says, this is beneficial for you, this tree, madman. This is not a loss for you. So he sugarcoats it and presents it to you nicely. There's a lot of benefit in this wrong. A lot of benefit in this resource. Even today, shaitan, when he takes us towards haram and presents it to us sugarcoated nicely, and he wants to switch it, the haram to halal, then those wrong things, harmful things, he doesn't show the harm. Rather, he shows us and presents us the benefit. Oh, very beneficial for you. Why do you want to leave this thing? It's not haram. And all sins today, all unlawful haram actions, we promote them as halal. No. Music gives soothe, calming feeling. If I drink alcohol, I'm calm and relaxed and I'm enjoying myself. And riba, it's only riba. We can't do business without riba. If we end riba and interest, how will we multiply wealth and businesses? All wrong and haram things he presents as halal. Immodesty, nakedness, He says, no, 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 if you're naked, you'll be respected in the world. People will meet you. The more fahashi, modesty and nakedness there is, you say, no, 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 the world will like you if you're like this, advanced. You will promote and be accepted in the world. Zina has enjoyment, free of charge. Meet other people, opposite sex. There's nothing wrong with that. And express yourself, spend your time and money amongst each other. Enjoy yourself, zina. He promotes this. You know, let's go out. What's this? This is not right. I have to stay home. We'll say with the women. Let's go out. Benefit for us. We're imprisoned in the four walls. This isn't Islam. Let's go out and wander in the world. So many messages. We'll earn. You'll have your own pocket money, bank account, with whatever you want you can buy. Why do you have to be the prisoner of your husband under his foot? Go out. Become a doctor, dentist, accountant, career specialist. Do what you want. So while those things Allah has made haram and lawful, shaitan presents their benefits. These are best for you. Do these actions. This is his biggest trickery and methodology. I'm telling you now clearly today. Remember this point. Lesson today. Never will he present to you a loss in halal. Halal he'll present as a loss. Wherever there's haram, he will multiply its benefits and show you its multiple benefits. Oh no, no, this is very good for you. Very good for you. How? And then that action he made enable Adam al-Islam. This tree is very good for you. Very beneficial for you, Adam. So whenever you see haram and you think there's enjoyment in it, there's benefit in it, then remember. Remember. Take the niqab off, it's very beneficial. Take your parda hijab off, very beneficial. Cut your beard, you'll get the job straight away. Your respect will increase. He will present to you the benefit. Pray salat time, you don't have to go to masjid. Very beneficial for you, it'll save time. No need to go. If you go there, there's more benefit if you go there. So, oh, alcohol, what's wrong with opening off license? Look at, you'll get profit. More customers will come if you put some alcohol on the shelves. What's this haram, haram, haram? If you sell haram meat, no problem. You're not eating haram, are you? So it's beneficial. Sell haram meat, you'll get more money. Always haram, he'll present beneficial. Adam al-Islam, he instructed, this tree is very beneficial for you. Madman, what are you doing? What are you doing? You will lose your life. Eat the fruit from this tree and see what you get. Yes, you will have the life of peace, prosperity, happiness, beautiful life. You'll get many benefits. And that trickery, he brought it into the mind of Adam alayhi salam, that this tree is good for you. Go there, extend your arm, take the fruit and eat it. Then they both started to think that, what's he saying here? This tree, we've been told to refrain from doing this. And he injects the waswasa. This is called waswasa of shaitan, when he injects the brain cells with his thoughts, evil inclinations, advices into the heart. Allahu Akbar. So they both thought, no, 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 we don't accept this. This is very difficult. Because there was Nur, a man inside them. They said, this is not possible, very difficult for us. Then he played his second plan, plot. He has many tricks up his sleeve when he wants to do somebody to do haram. So he plot number two. Trick number two. He said, okay, you'll die. And when he said, let me show you what death is. Let me show you. What did he do, subhanAllah? He went into the form of an animal. He can go into different forms and appearances and shapes. Jinnat, shaitan can come different shapes and appearances. You don't know. He can come into a form of a man or an animal, insan. But recognize their sign. Always haram advice against Sharia will come from jinn and shaitan. Always, always. If I say, I'll teach you such things, you'll start to fly in the air. I'll show you within minutes. All your needs will be fulfilled when you blow on this. This will happen. Magic tricks. All emanate from shaitan. Sorcery. Benefit. But he tells you beneficial things. Let me tell you a second point. He said, so he went into the form of an animal. And in front of them, he lay down. After laying down, he said, I'll show you that if you don't take from that tree, how you will die. And practically, he showed them. He lay down. After lying down, he said, look how people die. Allahu Akbar. And then his acting. And they were scared. And he started to gargle. His eyes became big. His hands and feet twisted. He said, my roux coming out. And all these evil noises. You know when people die, wretched death. He showed the sketch of death, horrible death. He showed it to them. And they trembled of fear. And they didn't come into his tramp. But due to khawf, shaitan sort of put them off. Put them off a bit. Allahu Akbar. Then shaitan, this is second attack, remember. Second attack. When he sees the insan, he's not listening to me. Remember the second point. Then he makes the person scared you to pay. If you don't take haram, your expenses will go down. Your children will die of hunger. You'll have no money. If you don't take your parda off, sister, then all doors in the world will be closed to you. If your woman, wife doesn't go out to work, if she doesn't work for your children, then your basic monthly expenses won't be met. So he uses his second attack mode. He makes khawf come to people. Hunger, poverty, nakedness. Hunger, poverty, nakedness. You will die. You will be hungry. You will have no clothes, nothing to wear, nothing to eat. And he will make you afraid of the dunya. You will lack the luxuries of the dunya. People laugh at you. They look down at you. They'll say you're not advanced. So the person gets afraid. So as Adam alayhi salam, he had the fitrah of humanity. They made them scared. They stopped for a second. They said, okay, we'll eat the fruit. What can we do? Obviously, this moth is showing this sketch of death. We need to avoid this. So they became upset. And then, what happened? Allahu Akbar. Shaitan, he won that one. He won at that time. Brothers, big lesson for us. Big lesson for us. In our lives, we should not allow shaitan to beat us. And the biggest weapon against shaitan we have at our disposal in our hands. The Holy Prophet some sunnah mubarak. I swear by Allah, come to the sunnah. No attack of shaitan can come to you. He cannot make you afraid. Alhamdulillah. Nor can he whisper to you. Nor can he do waswasa to you. Nor in any other method can he use to take us off tracks. No attack of his will be successful. Always those people are stuck in shaitan's trickery. The nasiyah that comes from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, the learning, always those people will fail at the hands of shaitan, and he attacks those people and runs after those people. Remember, especially if you're following the deen and you've done tawbah, repented, and then be very careful in your life. Don't leave the sunnah. From a high level, he'll drag you down to the dirt. Shaitan will remember this. Always firmly obey your sheikhs. Instructions, whatever he tells you to do, left, right, forward, back, follow his orders blindly. That's it. Adam alayhi salam's great event, such a massive lesson Allah has given to us, that to the children of Adam alayhi salam, that how shaitan, he will run after you, will never leave you. Why should he leave you? Why will he? Yes? What did Allah allow shaitan to run after us? For this reason, Allah said that big maqam, such great ranks and pleasures in Jannah I've set aside for you for one purpose. If you win the battle, Allah says, I'll give you great status of belovedness, such rewards and luxuries, but I've given you deeds to get that. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night has given us the methods to get close to him, because life is it's a testing ground. It's an examination hall. The more we assign ourselves to Allah, the more we assign ourselves to Allah, the more we persevere, the difficulties and the problems due to the deen, for the reward of Allah, for thereafter, those actions Allah told us to do and those to leave, the more we implement that, the more our levels will go. So Dhul Hijjah started, alhamdulillah, tonight. What a great time. 10 days Allah has given to us. 10 days and nights, Allah says, tonight after Maghrib, Dhul Hijjah started. Whichever amal we do now, so great a reward, so much reward, you cannot count. You lose count. We cannot count. What thawab is that? On every action, the thawab of belovedness of Allah. Subhanallah. Tonight, from today, for 9 nights, whichever amal you do, whatever deeds you do, whatever du'as you make, will be so fantastic and momentous that you cannot imagine. You cannot compare the rest of the year. The doors have opened. The maqams can be attained. The Holy Prophet Sunnah instructs us in these 10 days. How should we spend these 10 days? How? Tabarani Hadith. The Holy Prophet gave us instruction. As Nabi said, he was asked, what is the greatest deed in these 10 days? The Rasulullah said, the greatest deed in these 10 days is the dhikr of Allah. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa akbar. Subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar, Allah, Allah, hasbunallah. The greatest deed in these 10 days and nights, is what? Dhikrullah. The most beloved action of Allah in these days, beloved action which will take you to the belovedness of Allah. Now, either we listen to shaitan's advice, tell me, so he'll take our wealth, won't he? Allah's opened the door for us, the path, and he will put waswasa into you. No, don't do dhikr, don't waste your time. Where's it written? It's bid'ah, innovation. He will run after you and destroy you and make you fall down. If you're a sheikh, remember what if your sheikh says, do that blindly. Bid'ah, innovation, forget that. Do this amal, beyond do this amal. Don't listen to shaitan. And he will try to grab our hands and deviate us. So these 10 days and night, if we spend in doing dhikrullah, imagine the maqam Allah will give to us. 1 year, Allah will give you thawab of doing dhikr for the whole year. Imagine. On one fast, you get the reward of fasting for the whole year. So subhanallah, these days will pass like the wind. Change your days and now change your life. From tonight, do kathira dhikr, ibadat, recite Quran, astaghfar, abundance, tawbah, true tawbah, repentance, and refrain from the sins. Shaitan, you'll defeat him. You'll beat him. Every action of yours do according to the sunnah. Allah has opened the doors for you. The doors are not shut. They're open. Today, from now, these 10 days ahead of us, tonight's dhikr, subhanAllah. What we need to do? Do we leave dhikr? No. Where will you get these 10 days and nights and majalis again in your life? Halaka dhikr. Allah Ta'ala has allowed that to come into our hearts. Look in your homes. Dhikr in your homes. Massive favor Allah. Allah Ta'ala has given me the strength. I'm sat in front of you and I'm speaking and we're discussing and we're doing dhikr. Amazing. Such a great door has opened. We say, no, no, I can't do dhikr. I'm forced to. I'm tired. Is there greatest wretchedness, the biggest wretchedness, that you don't do dua tonight? That you don't join the majlis tonight? That you don't do dhikr of Allah tonight? That you don't do tafsir of Quran, you don't hear tonight? Tell me. And you're getting all of this on a plate. Can there be a greater reward than this? And what can shaitan do? So Allah Ta'ala hasn't said that shaitan's got a lot of effort, energy and power. No, no. Position to him for the mu'mins, for the people of Iman. Allah has given a great power. How can he dare to come close to us? Never. Every action we do it according to Rasulullah's sunnah. Shaitan can never enter into that action. Never. If you do the action away from the sunnah, in any action that you change your clothes, even if you wear your shoes wrong, not according to the sunnah, shaitan will come into your shoes. Remember this. Morning you wake up, not according to the sunnah, sunnah will come into your day. He is standing ready. He opens the doors and enters into your life. Shoot! Into your life, into your body, into your veins. And he gives eggs and they crack and he gives birth to children. And they play with your lives. Jinn enter into the lives of people. Do tawbah to Allah, istighfar, repent tonight. These 10 days are great, momentous. So alhamdulillah, you've understood everything, listened to everything. What will be the conclusion? Has Adam alayhi salam, has Hawa alayhi salam, what happened? That they went into the seat of shaitan. What was the conclusion? Then you see what happens. And how they were the heights. And then when they didn't take that order, and what happened? What was the conclusion? We see that in front of us.